Well, let's give our attention to God's Word now, and let's turn together to 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel 12. You can turn there with me. This morning in our study in John's Gospel, I reminded you of Jesus Christ's sacrifice for sinners through his death on the cross. And I challenged you and encouraged you then, this morning, that it is good to give your mind to thinking about and dwelling on all that Jesus has done for you. It is important for you to consider and to think on and to contemplate the riches that are yours in Christ Jesus. Oh, that we would have hearts overflowing with joy, and that we would know true contentment in this life because we have everything we need. Ultimately, we have all that we need. We sometimes feel like there are things here on earth that we don't have that we think we need, and we think that we need to get them somehow, but what we ultimately need is to have our sins forgiven. And we have that in Jesus Christ, and we can praise God for that. And I trust that by focusing our attention on all that Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross, that we will rejoice and that we will know true joy in our faith and in our lives lived for God's glory. Now, I want you to look at 1 Samuel 12 and go to verse 24. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 24. And this passage really is pointing to how important it is to consider all that God has done for you. Look at 1 Samuel 12 and verse 24, where it says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you." Do you have reason to worship God and serve him faithfully with all your heart? You absolutely do. If your faith is in Christ, the reality is you have everything you need in Christ. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been cleansed. You've been washed. You've been made new in Christ. And we have this reminder in the Old Testament, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with some of your heart. Nope. Serve him faithfully with all of your heart. For consider, here's why you can serve him faithfully with all of your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. It was true of these people who had received this, the first people who received this. It was true of them. It's still true. Of all who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this is true. Consider what great things he has done for you. There is an important reminder here, one we actually practiced this morning when we considered the death of Jesus for our sins. What does the fact that Jesus would willingly die for sinners say to us? That Jesus would willingly die for sinners. What does that say to us? If you are a follower of Jesus, the Lord's death, Christ's sacrifice on the cross for you, is a clear proclamation of God's love for you, of how much God loves you, that he would send his son, his only son, to not just to live a sinless life, that's something incredible, but to actually go all the way to the cross to die for sinners, to have the Father's wrath poured out on him in our place. And tonight I want to look to what the Bible says about how proclaiming the Lord's death and considering and contemplating what great things the Lord has done for you, how it's good for you. Why should we think about Jesus' death for sinners? Why is it necessary and helpful for faithful followers of Jesus to consider, to think on, to meditate on, and take account of the great things the Lord has done for us? There's a passage I quoted this morning, and one we're likely all very familiar with, from 1 Corinthians 11. And I often share some of these words during our observances of the Lord's Supper together on the first Sunday of each month, usually, when we observe the Lord's Supper together. Verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 11 says, and Jesus, these are Jesus' words, "Do this in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance of me. And then verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You proclaim his death. You remind one another of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. You remind yourself. So what does the Bible say about that proclamation that we should do to ourselves, that we should give to ourselves about what Jesus has accomplished for us? How is remembering the Lord's death and how is considering the wonderful things the Lord has done for us, how is that helpful and good for us? And how does this practice of encouraging and challenging ourselves with these truths, how does it build us up and encourage us in our walk with Christ? Well, we can be encouraged and we can be strengthened by practicing what 1 Samuel 12:24 reminds us to do. I started with that passage tonight. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. That tells us, that tells me, and points us to this fact that no area of our lives should escape being influenced by our joy in the Lord because of what Jesus has done for us at Calvary. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all of your heart, with every area of your life, for consider what great things he has done for you. So when we consider the great things God has done for us, and when you do that, in what God has done in giving his son to die on the cross for your sin, it should challenge you. And it should encourage you, just as verse 24 here in 1 Samuel 12 says, to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. It is easy to get distracted at this point. In this life, it is easy to get sidelined and find ourselves not fearing the Lord and not serving him faithfully with our whole heart. Because we live in this world, which is distracting. There are things going on that trouble us. Things around us, things in the world we live in, this country that we live in, and this world that we live in, and things in our own lives, even things in our hearts that distract us from practicing this faithfully, fearing the Lord and serving him with our whole heart. And for this, considering all that God has done for us, it's easy to get distracted away from that and find ourselves not reminded of all that God has done for us. So let's consider this thought by turning to Colossians 3. I want to dig a little deeper in this and think about this carefully tonight. And let's consider this about thinking on and remembering and contemplating all that Jesus has done for you. If you do it, if you often remind yourself of all that's yours in Christ, and show gratitude to God with your praise and your thanks and your prayer, and seek to know him more by reading his word, and seek to honor him more with your obedience to his word. If you consider and think on and remember and contemplate all that Jesus has done for you, if you do that, it will help you to glorify God in all that you do. God wants us to glorify him in all that we do. He wants everything that we do, everything that we think and say and do, the way we behave, the way we do our work, the way we do business with people, the way we care for our families, the way we care for the things that God has entrusted to us, the things that we say are my possessions, the things that God has entrusted to us, the way we care for those things. Everything should glorify God in all that we do. And if you'll consider and carefully remember and remind yourself of the wonderful promises that are yours and the victory that's yours in Christ because Jesus went to the cross, it will help you glorify God in all that you do. This same idea that you should serve the Lord faithfully with all your heart is a common theme in the Bible because we need to be reminded of this often. It is a common theme in the Bible. And remembering often what Jesus Christ has done for you really is essential to properly glorifying God. You can't really give God the proper glory that's due His name if you don't consider all that He's done. If you just say, well, God is loving and I'm just going to glorify Him, you're just not going to get the same kind of praise to flow from your life as you do as if you account for and consider all that's yours in Christ. Look at Colossians 3 in verses 23 and 24 where the Bible says this. Colossians 3 verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, does that leave anything out? It does not. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. Listen to that again, verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. Note how in Colossians 3 we learn that in whatever you do, and that covers everything, you are to work heartily, heartily as for the Lord and not for men. This is not to suggest that you should never have secular employment. Now, we got to pray as a church, and we do often pray that God would raise up more pastors and more missionaries. And wouldn't that be something to see the Lord raise up missionaries and pastors from this fellowship someday? But we can't all be missionaries and pastors. And God has plans for each and every one of us, wherever we are in the work that we are doing right now. So this is not to suggest that you should never have a secular job, necessarily, but it is to suggest that even your secular employment is an act of service to God. How do you do that work? How do you think about that work? How do you perform your duties in the work that you have to do? Do you do it with joy as service to God? That's what God is calling us to do in all that we do, in everything. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Now, why is that important? Well, think of how hard it would be to be joyful in your work if the only way you looked at it was, I'm going to go do my 40 hours or my 50 hours or my 60 hours or whatever it is. I'm going to go work for my boss who I don't always appreciate because he's mean sometimes and doesn't treat me fairly at times. So I'm going to put in my time. That's all I'm going to do. And I cannot wait until Friday at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or whatever. If that's the only way we think of our work, we're going to be miserable. And we've all met people like that, and maybe we've been those people at times. I have been that person at times. Maybe you've been that person at times in your lifetime, and you can point to that and go, that's a miserable existence. In fact, I think back to one job I had many years ago where there were two people in that workplace who were very religious. They were not believers in Jesus Christ, but they were very religious. And they were the two most miserable people I ever met. Even comparing them to people who would have called themselves not religious, these people were religious, and they were miserable because they didn't have this outlook on life like believers in Jesus Christ can have when they consider all that Jesus Christ has done for them. And when God calls you to whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. When we get that perspective, that changes everything. That changes our complete outlook on our work and in all of life. Think of how hard it would be to be joyful in your work if you don't have this proper perspective. Your work can be difficult even as it is, right? But if we don't serve the Lord with gladness, showing Him your gratitude for all that He has done for you, you will not know how to look at your work as service to God, as ministry for God's glory. That is important to God. That ought to be important to you, that you do all of life as service to Him and to glorify Him and to obey Him with joy. Again, this is so easy to get wrong. It's so easy to lose sight of this and forget that this is what we're to be all about as believers in, joyful believers in Jesus Christ. This is important to God, though. And we have an example of how God feels about this when we get it wrong. How does God feel about this when we get this wrong? Deuteronomy 28, you can just listen if you like, or you can turn there. Deuteronomy 28, listen to what God says to the people of Israel and how they will experience God's discipline for their failure to obey Him and serve Him with gladness, with joy, with willingness. Listen to Deuteronomy 28, verses 45 through 47. All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed because you did not, note it, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes that He commanded you. They shall be a sign and a wonder against you and your offspring forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart because of the abundance of all things. What's this? Abundance of all things. Consider all that God has done for you, is what that is. Because you did not serve the Lord your God, says verse 47, with joyfulness and gladness of heart because of the abundance of all things. You will not know joyfulness and gladness of heart until you take your eyes off of yourself and what you think you don't have that you need, and put your eyes on Jesus and consider what is yours in Christ, because He's given it to you by His sacrifice. You may have a job in which you labor all week, sometimes with difficult people and difficult situations. It may be difficult to be joyful in situations like that when you think of your work as just a necessity to survive. You might have difficult neighbors to live next door to. It may seem like it's impossible to glorify God in that relationship. And yet, this is exactly what God calls us to in every area of our lives. Consider how we can serve the Lord with gladness because of all that He has done for us. Serving Him with joy and gladness of heart because of the abundance of all things. Well, to remember and think about all that God has given you in Christ, to know you are Christ's, and to know you are serving the Lord Christ in all that you do, and to know that the eternal inheritance is your reward, that will make a world of difference in how you view your labors and your challenges and your difficulties and your relationships. It will make a world of difference when you face difficult work and challenging people and difficult relationships. And this isn't only for the work world. This isn't just for our employment's sake, but it's also instructive about how you're to live with your spouse and how you're to live with your children and how you care for your grandchildren and how parents are to live with their children and how children are to live with their parents, how you live beside your neighbors and all that you do. We have this reminder in God's word that you are to work as though it is the Lord you are working for, because you are. You are working for the Lord, no matter what your work. And when you remember often all that the Lord has done for you, it will make all that you do an opportunity to glorify God because of all of his goodness toward you, because of all of his grace and mercy toward you in Christ. Just think of it. Nothing you do, if it is not sinful, is wasted if done for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58 puts it this way: "Therefore, my beloved brothers, believers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." This is not just for ministers of the word. This is not just for ministers of the gospel. This is for all God's people. This is not just for missionaries. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." You can truly say, "I'm doing the Lord's work." You know how people say that? "I'm doing the Lord's work." Well, truly, if your heart is right, you can say, "I'm doing the Lord's work. I'm busy serving the Lord with this, what seems like maybe menial task or difficult labor or a difficult relationship or a hard boss to get along with. I'm doing the Lord's work. I'm serving my Savior. I'm serving God." Next, also consider this about thinking on and remembering and contemplating all that Jesus has done for you. If you do, it will give your obedience to God. It will be you giving your obedience to God from the heart. It will be you surrendering to God, giving your obedience to God from your heart, not just going through the motions. You see, God doesn't want you to be like the little kid whose mother says to him, sitting, you know, in the back seat, he's standing up and it's time to go, "Sit down and buckle up." And he's like, "I don't want to sit down and buckle up." "No, you got to sit down and buckle up. We're not going anywhere until you do. Sit down and buckle up." He sits down and buckles up and he says, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." God doesn't want us like that. He wants us to joyfully and willingly serve him. And if you will meditate on all that God has done for you and completed for you in Christ at the cross and is doing for you and will do for you, this will be so much easier to have the right heart attitude for serving God. God wants you to serve him. He wants you to obey him from the heart, and that means joyfully, willingly, because you want to, because you know the joy of the Lord will be yours if you honor him with your obedience. If you are not experiencing this right now in your life, I hope you've experienced it at some point so you have something to compare to. I've been here. I've done that. I've said this so many times. My kids have heard me say this so many times. I would say to them, "Don't do this, do that. Because if you do that instead of doing this, it won't go well for you. Ask me how I know." Sadly, I could say it about so many things. Ask me how I know that if you do the thing that's wrong instead of doing the thing that's right, it will not go well for you. Ask me how I know. Don't be me. I hope you know what it's like to experience the joy of the Lord as you obey him, so that when you're not obeying him and you're miserable, you have something to compare to in your life. God is gracious, I think, to allow us to be utterly miserable with ourselves at times so that we'll get a clear wake-up call. This is not how I should be living life. I know better. I've experienced better. And turn back to obey Christ. Listen to what the Bible says in Joshua 22:5. "Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Do you think that changed in the New Testament? Absolutely did not, because we hear very similar, if not exactly the same things in the New Testament. Be very careful. You know, you can encourage yourself toward being very careful to observe the commandment and the law of God's word, to hide his word in your heart that you might not sin against him, if you will dwell on the goodness of God in Christ Jesus and all that is yours in Christ because of the cross of Christ. Some people will say, I hope this isn't you, some people will say that obedience to God is a chore. That it is hard, that it's drudgery, but it is not. Not when you know deeply the goodness of God that he has shown you. Obedience is not work. Obedience is joy. Obedience is contentment. Not when you know how gracious God is because you often consider what great things the Lord has done for you. Obedience is not difficult. It's not hard. It's not a drudgery when you know the truth and you recognize all that God has done for you. When you think on how gracious God is to you in Christ, as undeserving as you are, then serving the Lord will be your highest pleasure. Your highest joy. Obeying him will be an honor. It will be an honor. Says Psalm 100 in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And we heard it in the psalm that we looked at tonight in Psalm 47. A joyful heart is the possession of every believer that regularly thanks God for his goodness, thinking on and contemplating what great things God has done for them. You will serve the Lord with gladness when your heart is fixed on God's goodness. If your heart is not fixed on God's goodness, but on yourself instead, you will not be glad, and you will not know his joy. And not only will obeying the Lord be a joy to you, it will be your pleasure to serve the Lord faithfully. Romans 12 and verse 11 says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. That speaks to your service to the Lord being something you do willingly, eagerly. When you're constantly aware of the great things that God has done for you, you're going to see that serving with a fervent spirit, with a heart fully devoted to honoring God with your life and being faithful to God in all that you do, is a joy and a pleasure. So obedience will be a joy and a pleasure, not a burdensome chore. Obedience to God will be something to be zealous over when you know the depths of the love of Christ for you in Christ Jesus. His sacrifice for you brings you so much opportunity for joy in this life when you consider all that he has done for you, his sacrifice for you. That's why Paul says this in Hebrews 9:14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serving the living God. When you consider and you think on and remind yourself of all that's yours in Christ because of his finished work on the cross, it will have an effect of purifying your heart and mind and your desires, your conscience, from dead works, those things you did before salvation, before knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, those dead works, to serving now the living God, the one true God. Think carefully and think often of what Jesus Christ has done for you. the works you did before you were God's child, those things were dead works. Those were worthless. Those gained you nothing in Christ Jesus and before God. But now, if you're Christ's, with your heart and your mind fixed on the goodness of God toward you, your work is for the Lord. You are doing the Lord's work. And so never forget, it is by the blood of Christ you are saved, and not by your own works, not by any good deeds you've done ever, before, or ever will in the future. Those things don't pay for your salvation. Jesus did that. And consider that Jesus was without blemish. He was sinless when he hung on the cross for your sin, while remembering that you are not without blemish, and that you would still be separated from God were it not the Lord Jesus Christ reconciling you to God, paying for your sins so that he could reconcile you to God. Jesus did not sin, and yet he paid for your sin. And all this so that you can now serve the living God, doing so with joy and gladness and for God's glory. And it's because of God's love for you that you are called to love one another. Oh, we need to hear this in the church, to learn how to practice this love for one another that's ours in Christ. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You see, this is also how we honor God and serve the Lord, as we remind ourselves about all that's ours in Christ Jesus, his undying, perfect love for us, in spite of ourselves, in spite of our sinfulness. When you remember often the love of Jesus for you, then love for one another, which is commanded by God, becomes kind of a natural expression and an overflow of your heart that's filled with gratitude toward God, who loves you and has shown his love for you in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been freed from the penalty of your sins, and you are freed from the bondage of sin. You are no longer dead in your sins. You are alive in Christ. And now enabled and given the ability with God at work in you by way of the Word and the Holy Spirit, with the Word, to say no to temptation and to say yes to loving others as Christ loves you. By God's grace, you have been saved. By God's grace, you have trusted in Jesus. By God's grace, you have faith to trust in Jesus. And you've been given an immeasurable gift. And you are gifted by God. Also, every believer has been gifted by God to serve one another in love, with that love of Christ compelling us. Well, I can't help but serve one another because of all that God has done for me in Christ Jesus. That should be our attitude. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied graces." And yes, our gifts are varied, thankfully. We have various gifts numbered among us as God's church. And yet all of those gifts are for serving one another, encouraging each other in Christ and toward Christ, loving one another as God has loved you in Christ Jesus. This is why you're to remember all the good things the Lord has done for you. This is why we preach the Word. This is why we preach and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. And this is why we read our Bibles. And this is why we sing the truths of Scripture together. And this is why we observe the Lord's Supper together. And this is why we gather at times like this, to be reminded of God's mercy, to be reminded of God's grace, to remember Jesus Christ, so that we might leave this place with fresh vigor every week, to serve the Lord faithfully and with gladness and joy until He returns for us or calls us home. May that be true of you. May that be your heart, that you would be challenged and refreshed anew to leave here with fresh vigor and zeal in your service to the Lord in all that you do in the coming week for God's glory.